He's right, it is me. Good morning, welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I'm telling you, the pleasure and the treat and the blessing would be all yours if you were out about 20 minutes ago looking toward the eastern sky. Just a small sliver of the moon. I don't even know how to give it a comparison. Maybe 1% of the moon was showing. It was so cool. I actually got out a pair of binoculars and I looked at it, and you could see the bumpy ridges probably from meteor impacts. How long ago? I don't know. But they were there. But man, was it beautiful. What a great day to be alive. Someone's already trying to call. Let me go ahead and answer the first phone call. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, good doctor.
How are you?
Fantastic. Greetings, top of the morning to you.
Well, thanks. You sound like you're Irish.
Irish coffee is on my mind.
Well, how can I help today?
Well, I was calling to ask about Viome.
How do you spell it?
V-I-O-M-E.
I don't know it.
Revolutionary.
Well, then Roy knows nothing about it.
What?
What is Viome?
It's not so.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Okay. Let me do it. Let me do it another way. I'll try to deceive you. Oh yes, I know everything about it. As a matter of fact, I know so much. We're going to stop the conversation now, and that way I can get off the line and read about it. No, I don't know anything about it. What is it?
Well, it is a blood and basically testing for various allergens, food allergens.
Oh,
is really what it is.
So this is a laboratory test where they draw your blood, send it to the lab, and it's called Viome, and they measure for allergies.
Exactly. It's various foods, and they give you levels.
Yeah. Well, no, I'd be able to, that would be easy to look up.
I see. Okay.
I just don't know the methodology and what system they use to determine what the reactions or the foods are.
Okay.
So tell me what you have in mind by it. Is that something that you want to do to determine if there's any foods that you're eating that are counterproductive to your health?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, is your doctor offering it to you?
No, my chiropractor suggested it, and he showed me some information on his.
Yeah.
And it measures various blood levels and...
What does it cost?
Levels of... It's more than $100, let's say that.
Okay. Yeah,
you can get it on sale for about $80.
That's like
3 or 4 times a year.
That's like super cheap.
I would say so, but
I mean, when it comes
so
to medicine, yeah. Well, no, I'd be glad to look into that. I hope it proves to be very, very beneficial, because my goodness, the world could use, or human beings could use, a simple, inexpensive test to help them determine what they might be reacting to.
Exactly. I mean, that's why I did it. But they give you plenty of information, but it's not layman's terms, of course.
All you really need is, if it says tomatoes 4+, you're going, maybe I should avoid ketchup.
Okay.
No, I'm glad you told me. Thank you very much. I'll look into it.
It gives you a massive list of bacteria that...
So it measures. So what we're doing is we're switching gears. We're going from foods to looking at a mapping of the GI or your gut on what type of flora you have.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's all included in one test for that.
Yeah. Wow. That's really impressive.
It is. Okay. Very impressive.
Do you feel as if you have good, strong, radiant health?
No.
Okay, what would be the one or two or three areas that you would really like to see improvement in?
That's a very good question.
How could you be made better?
Less work.
You mean as far as you having to be productive out there in the world?
Exactly, that kind of work.
Well, I don't know if a food allergy test is going to fix that. They can map your gut all day long for beneficial bacteria. That may not change your workload.
Would be nice.
Yeah. Well, then we only have, you know what your other option is? We have to find a way to make you stronger and more resilient so you can handle the current workload. If the workload is not going to change, then what do we do to improve your capacity? So, can I tell you a story real quick?
Sure.
It has to do with Russia, so take it with a grain of salt. Back in the, I'm going to say the late 1940s, early 1950s, and I don't know if you know much about communism. I'm sure I have a lot to learn, but they like their people to work in the factories, okay? And so what the question was posed, how do we get more work out of our workers? How can we get them to work longer and harder? Because what that would represent is they would produce more goods, they could be more productive at, I don't know, producing more oil or gas or diamonds, whatever it was. And so they came up with an idea. A gentleman discovered an herb, and sometimes it's known as Siberian ginseng, but the modern term, we call it Eleuthero, spelled with an E. And sometimes Eleuthero was called the king of herbs, but what they found was, when they gave Eleuthero to the factory workers, they could work 30% longer before they became fatigued. So that's exactly what you're wanting right now, I promise you.
Eleuthero. E.
Yeah. E. Let me spell it here on paper. Okay. Eleuthero. Eleuthero.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's such an interesting herb because the key is almost every equation that improves the human being's status is to improve energy production. I mean, it's just a basic equation. You tell your liver, well, I would like you to detoxify this diesel fume exhaust in the car in front of me that just spewed forth a black cloud of exhaust. How do I do that? And the liver says, I'll do whatever you want. Give me some energy, and I'll do it. Well, what if you don't have enough energy? And what that means is some of the normal processes of the body go undone. And so energy is the way to solve that, or one of the core ways. And so you need more energy. And so if your workload will not change, which I get that, and I respect you for it. By the way, do you believe that we were born for labor?
I'd say about 50%.
Well, what was Cain and Abel's job when they were back?
Till the ground.
Till the ground, that's called work. I think Abel, he was a keeper of the flocks, right? That's work. And so with work comes responsibility, and this is all God-derived, so work is really, really good. The other day I was looking at some research from a psychiatry journal, and they were showing there's a very high suicide rate among individuals that have been long-term in the military. And once they're out of the military and they can't really find their way, I'm not trying to say more than what I should, I don't really understand all of it, but the point is, when you go from having a rich purpose in life and you have good work to do and you're helping everybody, and if you go all of a sudden to doing nothing, well, that's not good. We need work. And then I was reading another study about people that are paid royally by the United States government to not be productive, meaning just stay at home. We'll give you whatever you need so you can twiddle your thumbs. They also have a very high suicide rate, which makes me wonder, are we really helping people by making it easy for them? I don't know. You tell me. Are people making it too easy on you to make it through this world?
No.
Yeah, no. But Eleuthero is maybe one thing that you might consider. I realize that's not the purpose of your phone call. But if your workload's not going to change, I'd rather give you Eleuthero, something that might help strengthen you to where you can do your work and actually have energy when you come home and do what you want to do then.
I like the sound of that.
Cool. Well, you're an easy sell.
All right.
Okay. I'll look into the bio. Thank you very much.
Please do. You're welcome. I have another question.
What is it?
About mud packing.
What's it called?
Mud packing.
Then that's your second one you've asked me. I don't know anything about mud tacking.
Oh, okay.
Well, what is it?
It's basically an energized type of clay that's supposed to stimulate basically blood flow to minimized blood flow areas.
And where do you get this?
That's a good question. I would think the health food store, but it's supposedly specific to how it's done. And it's like, well,
okay, well, I'm gonna tell you right now I'm gonna be a real hard sell on that deal. I'm just not gonna buy into it. Isn't that really biased on my part? Let me tell you what I think about this. Number one, the normal American, if you know how you go to a doctor and they say, hey, we're gonna check your vital signs, this is part of your examination, so they listen to your heartbeat, they measure your temperature, and let's just say your heartbeat is like exactly 79 beats a minute. They write that down. They check your blood pressure. It's exactly 147 over 88, and they write that number down. Then what they do is they measure the number of respirations, and all I mean by that is the inhaling and exhaling, and it's going to be an average of, if you're an American, about 16 times a minute. Does that make sense?
All right.
Okay. So they write all those variables down. Well, there was a study, and all they were doing was they were looking at the amount of rich oxygen and nutrient-dense blood flow to the brain. So they wanted to find out what is happening in this person's brain, how much blood flow do they have. And they noticed when somebody was breathing less than 10 breaths a minute, compared to 16, those that breathe in 16 breaths a minute on average, guess what they have? They have 40% less blood volume to the brain. And that is a huge deal.
Wow, okay.
And so basically what happens is if an individual is breathing about 16 to 18 times a minute, that means that they're greatly over-breathing. And in a nutshell, what that means is they're starving for carbon dioxide, which greatly reduces blood flow. And so the reason why I'm a hard sell is I'm thinking, no, 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 that's not the way it works. The way it works is if you breathe properly, you're going to have the greatest blood flow of all time. Number two, if you actually move and exercise your body the way it's designed, I mean, that's why I'm saying you're built for work, I'm built for work. Every single person listening is built for work, but some people believe, no, I am built for luxury. That means I can lay on a couch all day long while somebody feeds me grapes and fans me like Cleopatra. And so I'll look into mud tacking, and it may be beneficial, but I've always historically just loved the use of what's called clay. I think clay is amazing, but you got to understand something. Anytime it comes to natural products, whoever's writing the article for a product to promote it, they got to come up with something pretty spectacular. Just like if you have an 89-year-old man that gets on TV and say, this is my immune formula 101, I've got exactly perfect studies, I'm in perfect health, I can do a million push-ups, okay, whatever. But they have a sales pitch. And it's really common in the natural health food industry to slightly exaggerate the effectiveness of a product. I mean, I try hard not to. I mean, I told you the truth a while ago about Eleuthero. The studies show that a person could work 30% longer until they got tired. So basically, maybe what that means is this. They could work 7 hours a day and then they were tired without Eleuthero, and then with Eleuthero, maybe they could work, I don't know, 8.5 hours or whatever 30% would be. I'm not a mathematician. Where's Randy's calculator? Start figuring it out. So do you get where I'm coming from?
Yes.
So a lot of times it's attractive. We want things to do the job for our body, but what you need to do is you got to start moving your body more. If you lived exactly 100 years ago and I was right there with you, guess how many miles you and I'd walk a day on average?
Probably 100.
No, well, not a day, but that's good. A week we would, but probably like about 17 to 19 to 20.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we got a lot more. So when you're moving your body, you're really getting the blood moving, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, in all fairness, there are studies that show when somebody has advanced diabetes, placing a very powerful magnet over the area of poor circulation increases circulation. And I say, okay, wow, that's good. Just like, have you ever heard of, they sell, I can't remember what the company's called, CopperFit, but basically they sell socks that have copper wires in them.
I've seen those at Walmart.
Well, they have been shown, to the best of my knowledge, to improve circulation. And you know one thing that I am a fan of, just because I've seen them work over and over again, are compression socks.
I have those. I'm wearing those right now.
Good. How many millimeters of mercury are yours set at? Are they 10, 20, 30?
I bought these off of Groupon, so they don't give you a whole lot of information as far
gotcha
as what it does. But
well, they're
I
easy
do
to
like the feel.
Yeah. Do they go all the way up to the knee?
They go, no. A little more than mid-calf.
If you would, they're like, what, $5 or $6. So you can get them easily that go all the way up to the,
oh,
just
yes,
beneath the knee, and that way they cover the entire calf. But I tell you what, that's one way that you great. Now, see, now that we're talking about circulation to the feet or the legs, bingo, I agree with that one.
Okay.
So, and can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
When you wear the compression socks, do you feel a sense of calm compared to when you don't? Are you calmer at all?
You know, I've never paid attention to that. I have insoles in my shoes to complement, so I'll have to pay attention to that.
Okay. Well, just curious. Do you ever walk barefoot with any socks on?
Oh, no, we can't walk barefoot around
oh,
here.
Oh, we'll see. Well,
I'm in an apartment complex.
Well, I meant on the roof. On the roof of the apartment. Could you imagine how hot it's going to be today on the roof?
Oh, God.
Anyway, well, I hope I helped you today.
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay, thanks. Hope you have a good day. Thank you.
Same to you, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Bye. Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. You know, the only thing that really matters is if you have an attitude that says, I'm going to find a way, I'm going to figure it out, I'm going to do it. Walking barefoot inside the house, outside the house, do what you can, but you got to use your smarts. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'd like to get information as if there's any other options aside from surgery for an herniated disc on your back.
Yeah, this was probably about 2 years ago when I read an article that had just been published, and what they did was they took men and women that had, now you said ruptured disc, and
it's
this
herniated disc.
Herniated disc, yes, and usually
yeah,
the term herniation means some of the jelly-like center of the disc is squirted out.
Okay.
And if those are severe enough, they do require surgery. Of course, how can I determine that over the phone or the radio? But in this study, what they did was they just gave them glucosamine sulfate with chondroitin sulfate with another substance called MSM, and the length of the study was about 2 years. But what they did was they did before and after MRIs where they actually looked at the herniated disc, and then they tested after they had taken it. And the results, to me, were super impressive. It's almost as if the body's designed to repair itself if you give it the right circumstances.
Okay. So aside from the MSM, what's the other one, glucosamine?
It's called glucosamine sulfate, and then chondroitin sulfate, and then MSM. And usually you can buy those as just a combination of all three. But if you take those every day, they have they have shown to be extremely beneficial to helping the disc to heal.
Okay.
Now, the other one that I like, and I cannot find research that says what I wanted to say on this, but then again, I can't find research one way or the other on this topic, but I really am convinced that aloe vera is one of the greatest healing elements in the universe for a bulging or ruptured or herniated disc.
Okay.
Or if there's damage to a disc, like a sprain of the fibers around it, the annulus fibrosis. Mm-hmm.
So would it be the liquid aloe vera, or does that come in capsules?
Yeah, either way. So the capsules work great. If you get the capsules, and what they are is they've taken the gel and just dehydrated it and put it in powder form. That stuff plumps right up the moment you put it in your stomach with some water. Yeah, that's one of the things. And then all the other things, even if you didn't know how to do this, you could go onto YouTube and you could type in, what are the very best exercises and stretches for a ruptured disc? Mm-hmm. Or a herniated disc, excuse me, I need to use your terminology. And the thing of it is, they would show you a complete workout. You know what would happen if you were the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys or the Houston Texans? They would be having you start the process of rehab to try to encourage it to heal and to mend and to come back into place where it belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the most devastating thing in my mind for a herniated disc is just laying down doing nothing. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I guess the main thing is the pain that's, felt that inhibits movement.
Well, where's the pain located?
It's in the back section and then headed down to the sciatica.
Does it go past the knee down your leg?
Yeah.
Oh, bless your heart. Have you ever seen those inversion tables you can kind of hook yourself into at the ankles and sort of flip upside down and hang?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen those work wonders.
Okay.
And it would be considered a form of traction to kind of help suck the fragments back into place so they can mend.
Okay.
There's a lot of doctors that do, they have a machine that does distraction on the lower back. They try to pull it back in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those are some of the simple things that I would look at. I would say the top things to do if you want to prevent the disc from healing at all and repairing. Because you know what? The thing of it is, if this was 100 years ago and the crops were in need of being harvested, what would a person do that had a herniated disc? They would go out there and harvest their crops. And it would take about 10 to maybe 12 months for it to heal fully till they're pain-free. But I do respect where you're coming from, because when you have a herniated disc, that does not heal quickly. But here's what I'm going to say is going to be rough on a herniated disc. The more you sit, the longer it's going to take to get this well. Sitting is torture on a disc. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number two, smoking cigarettes is pretty much a guarantee that disc is never going to heal.
Yeah.
And then let me see, what else would I say? Oh, yeah. Here it is. It just came to me all of a sudden. There's a word that begins with the letter S. It's called sugar. If you eat a lot of sugar, that disc is never going to heal.
Okay.
But if you eat sugar that comes in the form of a strawberry or a blueberry or a cherry or, you know, watermelon, that does not present a problem at all.
Yeah.
So it may be that you start drinking like generous amounts of aloe vera juice. Now, I don't recommend you drink a gallon before you walk up to the front row of church tomorrow morning and have a seat. You may be running to the back of the church in about 5 minutes after drinking a gallon. Don't drink that much.
Okay. All right, then I have another question. It's the best options for a ruptured Achilles tendon in the ankle.
Is it a complete rupture?
Yeah, apparently it's a re-ruptured. It had been ruptured in the past, and then it happened again.
I tell you, I know I'm not directly answering your question, but if you call the Achilles tendon, sometimes it's called the heel cord. It's all the same thing, but usually the problem is people are wearing shoes like running shoes, and that's what makes that Achilles tendon super, super tight.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a woman probably should not be wearing high heels or elevated shoes. She needs to be wearing what are called zero-drop shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people walk barefoot on the grass or on the dirt, what happens is they place their foot on some type of unusually uneven terrain with every step. And so that causes the foot to bend and move, but it keeps that Achilles tendon so flexible and pliable. Going back to cigarettes for a second, if I wanted to rupture an Achilles tendon, cigarettes and steroids would do it. Have you ever heard of steroids before, like cortisone?
Not much.
Well, if somebody had an injection of cortisone, I think that would be an application for a tendon to, like, pretty much snap in half and rupture. So, is this somebody that you're asking for with a ruptured tendon?
Yes.
Well, what they have to do is they have to set their mind, number one, they're never going to wear regular shoes again. They're going to wear what's called zero drop shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just go online. There's a little known website that most people haven't heard of called Amazon.com. I suspect you have not heard of it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What? You have heard of it? But if you typed in zero drop walking or tennis shoes, and I'll tell you this, you will get what you pay for. So you can find a really cheap pair, but then again, the materials they use are super, super cheap, and you'll find out real quick that I should have just gotten a really good pair. Like, there's a brand name called Alta, A-L-T-A, but you might just look into it. But that would be one of them. But the person with the ruptured tendon, what we got to do is we got to correct all the mechanical issues. What I really want is I want them being able to do lots of squats and lunges and lots of heel cord stretches and lots of walking barefoot. If we do that, we got a chance.
Okay.
But steroids are probably one of the big ones that does that. So, like, if you were a professional athlete and you've taken a lot of steroid performance-enhancing drugs, then I'm not shocked if the Achilles tendon ruptures. Man, it takes a lot of force to do that. I've read before that you could take a Ford Pinto and hang it up by the Achilles tendon off a crane. That's how strong that sucker is. So why would that sucker rupture? That doesn't even make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we're talking about steroid use or drug use. Or mm-hmm. cigarettes.
Yeah, or the weight of the person.
Well, there's probably a few other factors going along, you know, with that one. But yeah, you're right. And a lot of times when a person is overweight, they just can't simply easily move their body the same way that you or I could. I mean, if I put you up against a creek that's 4 feet across, I would say, ma'am, do you mind if I take a video of this? And you would jump over it like an impala, wouldn't you? I mean, after you got a running start.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're really overweight, you just don't have that athleticism. So you lose the function of your springs. And so this person's legs and ankle and foot with the Achilles tendon, they're like steel springs in there. They need to be supple and flexible and strong. You know what I told you a while ago? Have you ever seen like a junkyard where they take one of those big magnetic cranes and they pick up a car before they put it in that big compacting device to crush it?
Uh-huh.
Well, your Achilles tendon is like that steel cable that holds that car off the ground. It's supposed to be that strong. You're not supposed to be able to tear it. And so if it tears, there's a lot of stuff going on that's just not right. And so, for all I know, this person has really, really diminished blood flow to the Achilles tendon. See, tendons, they don't have a blood supply to them. They don't. Muscles do. But tendons, you've got to be able to move them enough, because every time you take a step and you bend and you flex and you move and you run and you jump and you walk, that's how you get oxygen and nutrients to the Achilles tendon. And so when a person moves very, very little, the tendon becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Have you ever heard the principle, if you don't use it, you lose it?
Yes.
That would be true in this situation. And so what we got to do is we got to work on everything at the same time. But what I told you about the zero drop shoes and stretching and working out those heel cords and getting the legs a lot stronger and springy and flexible, that's what we want. See, the thing it is, when you lose your muscle, something's going to tear.
Mm-hmm.
So the person needs to start the process of saying, okay, how can I become more athletic? Do I need to go to a gym? Do I need to go to a personal trainer? Do I just need to watch videos on YouTube and just do it myself in the backyard or the front yard? Any of those plans work?
Okay, well, thank you for your input. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was reading an article, just a brief one, not a super long one, about what's called collagen synthesis. And so I know you know that your muscles and your ligaments and your tendons and your skin and the cartilage, It's all made of collagen, even your bones. A significant portion of your bones is collagen, so you need collagen. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir.
Hello.
Sitting on the back porch enjoying your program and watching the sunrise, sir.
What's your favorite thing about the sunrise?
It's different every day.
You know what? You are so right about that. It's so interesting.
Yep, it's a new beginning, a new day, a new opportunity to bless someone, maybe.
Well, was that your pet bird in the background singing? Because I can hear it.
See, there's a hummingbird. Yeah, there's some squirrels. There's some birds.
Well, no pet, I think I heard the squirrel say, "Can I have a pecan, sir?"
Oh, that's probably, hopefully there's some acorns out there for them.
Well, they need to go ahead and eat an acorn, right?
Yes, sir. The reason I'm calling, taking up your time this morning, is that last week's program wasn't recorded, or I'm not able to access it.
Well, I did record it, but let me tell you, I think when I talked to JP about that situation, he said the company that does the podcasting went out of business, if I understand correctly.
Okay.
So they're trying to find a way to get those on. So hopefully you'll be able to contact JP. JP, did you know that he's a genius?
Well, you've said that multiple times. So
I'm telling you, I don't understand anything about this stuff, but he does. He knows it all. And so if you asked him, he would probably be able to tell you precisely how to access that program at some point in the future. But I think it's just a matter of they're trying to get that lined out where you can go back and hear the podcast on the kbjs.org website.
Right. Yes, sir. So let me ask the question that I wanted to hear from that.
Wait, was this a last week question? I've slept since then.
I know.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm asking too. It was about C. diff. You said something about skin milk and something else and like...
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was an experimental study on... when I say experiment... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying we're into experimental.
Well, well, you know, when I say experimental, okay, here's the reference point. If we said, what is the medical standard of care for somebody with C. diff, it would be massive rounds of antibiotics. Okay, there's your standard of care. So anything else besides that is going to be an experiment, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's our reference point. Okay. What they did was they took milk and they just dumped cultures of what's called Lactobacillus acidophilus to it. So they took a beneficial microbe or bacteria, and they just dumped it in the milk. And so the milk was basically the delivery system for all the beneficial bacteria. But do you remember in the study it showed, I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was tremendous results.
Yes, sir.
On getting rid of C. diff.
Yes, sir. That was what got... So the probiotic, I can't say it, but
the Lactobacillus acidophilus.
Yes, sir. Is it in a liquid form or powdered?
Either way.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can actually go to the store and say, I'd like to look at the refrigerated section. And now I'm not trying to make a joke by this, but I know if you go into Drug Emporium or someplace like that, you can go to the refrigerated section. They have these bottles of a product called Gut Shots.
Yes, sir.
And there may be one that's based on jalapenos. There may be one that's based on carrots or something like that, or pickles. But even something like that, that would be an example of a liquid probiotic. That's kind of like my loose translation, but what you're doing is when you drink that stuff, what you're doing is you're seeding your body with good beneficial microbes. And here's the principle. You get enough good bacteria in the gut, and what does it do? It overcomes the evil, bad bacteria, right?
That's correct.
Now, do you agree with me that Clostridium difficile is pure evil?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yes. It took my dad out, so.
Oh. Listen, I'm sorry for making jokes about that. I had no idea that you lost your father that way.
No, he had hip surgery and went to the nursing the rehab, and he caught it there. But it was a blessing in disguise because he had some mental issues going on.
Oh no!
Good stuff. So, in a roundabout way, it was a blessing.
Well, you know, you're really choosing to look at this in the most positive way of all time, and you're showing that you have tremendous faith and trust in God, that He knows what's best.
That's right, and he was going back home where he belongs. So,
what a good son you are.
Oh, at times.
if I ever talk to you again in the future, I will remind you of that. No, I'm joking. And the thing of it is it possible for me to be perfect all the time? Is it possible for you to be perfect?
No.
But you do try, though, and I do try, but it's impossible, isn't it?
That's correct. That's the journey we're on. With the skim milk, about how much is 3 ounces, 4 ounces?
I don't really think it makes a difference. Just if you can just dump the probiotic in the milk and drink it down, that'd be fine.
Is that about 10 days?
Mm-hmm. Now, if you would have come over to our house in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, in 1968, I would have been glad to milk the cow for you and give you some milk for free.
Yeah.
Do you have a time machine?
If I did, there would be. I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in today.
Well, I'm sorry. Let's get off that topic real quick. So, yeah. So, just any amount of the milk would be fine.
Fine. Okay, sir. Okay.
You know what I was told the other day? A lady told me that Brahms is famous for their A2 milk.
It was always good in the past, but I don't hear it anymore. So.
Gotcha. But as far as that goes, for all I know, maybe you could use kefir milk, or you could use kombucha. Probably anything would work as a delivery system for just taking the probiotics orally.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let me let you go.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your phone call. I really appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for blessing us. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks. You know, that guy sounds like he is a really good guy. I like phone calls like that. Okay. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. My question is, I have eczema on my left hand that I'm having trouble getting rid of. I've never had eczema before, but it's really inflamed on my thumb.
Is it on the palm or on the back side of your hand?
On the back side.
Okay. That changes everything. Okay, so how long have you had it?
Oh, man, months.
Do you have... Months now. It's going to sound like I'm switching gears, but just play along with me like I know what I'm talking about. Everybody can pretend. Do you have any issues with your gastrointestinal or your gut or your tummy at all?
Sometimes if I eat regular wheat,
okay.
I try to go more gluten-free, but there's some... I mean, I'll eat... what do you call it? Sourdough bread, that true sourdough, and that doesn't bother me. But sometimes if I eat any kind of wheat, I'll have gut issues.
Okay. Do you ever notice that if you have regular wheat, your hand or your eczema flares up?
No, because I haven't been eating any lately. So it just, I mean, it gets really worse if I put my hands in the water.
Oh, yeah. Well, that protective barrier is kind of like shot. So there's not much to, you've lost your acid mantle layer. Anyway, let me tell you where I was going with this. Okay. If you have eczema on the back of the hand and it's on the left side only, meaning the right hand is perfectly clear, I always think that the body is telling us which side the body is coming from. So if it's on the back of the left hand, would you guess it's coming from the left side of the body or the right side of the body?
I guess it would be from the left side.
You know what? So far, you're 100% correct on the questions. You're getting an A+. But yeah, that's where it's coming from. So what I would do is, since it's on the back of the hand, if I were to examine you, first organ I would look at is called your spleen. Okay. The spleen is the largest filter of the blood and the immune system in the body. And sometimes when the spleen is upset, you have really bizarre dreams. Are you having any bizarre dreams?
No.
Are you known as a woman of great compassion toward your fellow man and woman?
Probably not.
That means it's a spleen. So why, do you ever feel like you get a stitch in your side, like if you climb up a flight of stairs?
No, I don't get that anymore.
You are not answering these questions the way I want you to.
Sorry.
No, I'm just joking. See, I want to predetermine what the... No, so it's going to be somewhere on the left side. So whether it's the spleen or the pancreas or the stomach or the small intestine or the colon or the kidney, it's going to be on the left side somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done this so many times. I'm going, isn't that interesting? Everything is on the right side of the body. I wonder where it's coming from. Maybe it's the liver or the gallbladder. But surely we can track it down. But let me just give you two or three ideas. I'm going to slightly switch gears here.
Okay.
If you were to eat a food, and I'm trying to make this sound real simple. I think it's probably even more complicated than what I understand. But if you eat a food and your immune system says, what is this stuff that she just put inside of us? We do not like this. And let me just use an example. What if it was milk that comes from a cow? It could be in the form of cheese. It could be in the form of regular yogurt. It could be half and half in a cup of coffee, which I realize when I start bringing up coffee, people become very offended and very defensive very quickly. But what if you consume a dairy protein and your immune system says, we do not like this? And if your body starts generating antibodies against it and attaches it to it, what may happen is it may pass through the lining of the gut undigested, which it shouldn't. But if it does, it may settle in the back of the hand, and then your immune system is only doing its job trying to attack it. So on one level, the term eczema is really autoimmune. It means you are attacking yourself. And so what that means to me is it's either you have some type of a low-grade infection like... have you ever heard of a type of a fungus called Candida?
Yeah.
I would say it's fairly common with eczema on the back of the hand that there's a relationship between an overgrowth of Candida someplace in the body, and what I would guess is it's somewhere on the left side of the body internally and one of the digestive organs. That's just a guess.
Okay.
But if you want the eczema to go away, we need to identify what you're reacting to. So if we can just determine and pinpoint what you're reacting to, which I don't think it's going to be that hard, then if you just remove that. And so usually, for example, if it was really related to wheat, even the sourdough that maybe is organic, it may take about 2 months for that to completely clear up. But if you do this right, your body should completely resolve the eczema and you have just gorgeous, beautiful, radiant skin. As a matter of fact, most men would want you to take the back of your hand and just gently touch their hand, and they'd say, wow, that's a pretty smooth back of hand. But that's what I would look at. I would look at the possibility that you have either a hidden food allergy or an intolerance. There's lots of ways of saying it. And number two, you probably have some type of organism that's secreting waste. But those would be the things that would tend to trigger an autoimmune reaction. So if we can solve those first two triggers, then you could probably be free of all this.
Okay, when you say an organism secreting waste, what do you mean?
Well, for example, the gentleman that just called earlier, he was telling me something I didn't know, which, and I try not to be super funny on this stuff, because his father died of a bacterial infection, and that bacterial infection is called Clostridium difficile. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of C. diff?
Yes.
Man, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. So his story was, his father had like a hip replacement. He went to the rehab hospital, and while he was there, lo and behold, he picked up an infection. And that infection called C. diff, it just causes horrific diarrhea. I mean, how long can a human being endure, you know, projectile diarrhea? Not very long.
Right.
It just rapidly depletes them of all their nutrients. But my point is, C. diff is so toxic and so poisonous that the body says, okay, if we soak this up, we're going to die, so we're going to have to kick it out. So thus, vomiting and diarrhea. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I meant by the idea of a toxic organism, I also told the gentleman that if you take Lactobacillus acidophilus and you consume it, well, do you know what Lactobacillus acidophilus does? when it secretes its metabolic waste, it's called vitamin B12 and propionic acid and short-chain fatty acids and butyric acid, thing like that. Those are all good. But the toxic bacteria or toxic fungus, its byproducts of metabolism are so vile and so toxic that basically they poison the human body. And so Candida or Candida albicans is one fungal organism that can be really problematic. I had a, can I just tell you a quick story from yesterday?
Sure.
Okay. This man has a fundoplication procedure where they try to wrap his stomach around, I think, 270 degrees to deal with a problem with the hiatal hernia and other issues and just acid reflux. But he's telling me very clearly that he's got this chronic, ongoing stomach pain and chest pain that never goes away. He's just in misery. And his bowels are out of whack. Nothing's working right. But he's miserable since they did the surgical procedure in January. So if he goes January, February, all the way up to like August, September, would you believe him if he told you that he's in misery since he had the surgery on his stomach? Okay. I mean, it's easy sell for me. And so when I examined the gentleman, I said, okay, there's three or four things going on right here. Number one, I'm finding that you have a very inflamed ileocecal valve. Now, it was just my opinion, for whatever it's worth, that he had an overgrowth of Candida albicans. I really can't go into all the ways that I determine that, but to me, it's pretty straightforward. And so I said, okay, here's what I want to do. I think that you have an overgrowth of Candida, so I want you to take these three steps. And so what he does is he reports back to me. He says, you know what? My chest pain is just about completely gone. Never flares up again. I said, well, how's your gut? He said, I'm at least 70% better. He says, I do not hurt all day long like I did before. So what we did was we ran toward the idea that he had an overgrowth of Candida. So we just changed the circumstances or the conditions of his body to help kick it out and get rid of it. I mean, the bottom line is that's what I want your immune system to do. I want your immune system to keep you in great working order. Yes, ma'am?
What were those three things that you did for the
I gave him some supplements. One of them is called lactic acid yeast. This is considered a probiotic yeast that when you consume it, what it does is it goes on a very specific search and destroy mission for Candida and other toxic germs, and basically it eats them. And then when you go to the bathroom, out it comes. It may be 3 to 5 days later, but it's going to come out. Another thing that I did for him was I gave him a food-based form of vitamin A. Now, I am very, very fond of vitamin A because what happens when you give a person vitamin A, the lining of the gut, which is where your immune system is, it becomes stronger and thicker and hardier. See, with eczema, you almost always have a condition called a hyperpermeable gut, or leaky gut it's called quite often. So vitamin A tends to strengthen and feed the gut. I also tried to convince him to eat liver and onions once a week because that's going to be the best source of nutrients for the gut lining that I know of.
Okay, what's the next best thing to liver and onions?
Ma'am, I am going to pretend I didn't hear you say that.
I tried it this week and I'm like, I'm going to die. It was so bad.
Now, what if somebody put you in an electric chair and said, would you like to eat this as your last meal? Then would you eat it?
No.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, then what you're doing is you're looking at taking some type of supplement that's made from beef liver.
Okay.
Now, let me clear up a point. Everybody brings this up to me, and I have to explain it. But I'm going to tell you exactly what I think is the 100% truth on this. Everybody says, Dr. Morgan, my doctor told me never to eat liver because it's full of toxic waste. Well, that's not true. It's not. Yes, it is true that your liver or the liver of a mammal does a great job of breaking down toxic waste and kicking it out or detoxifying it, but it doesn't have the ability to store it. It doesn't do that. Now, fat cells, that'll store a lot of toxic stuff. And if you're constipated, you can have a lot of toxins from that. But the liver doesn't do that. The liver is one of the richest sources of nutrients on the planet, but I don't know of any food that has more vitamin A in it than that. Now, you do get some vitamin A when you eat eat, excuse me, when you consume what's called cod liver oil.
Okay.
So the nutrient-dense cod liver oil can be a really, really good call for you. And so you're looking at maybe some liver pills, you know, that sort of thing. And maybe that would be easy to do. But even the vitamin A that I use, I do not use what's called retinal palmitate. I'm not using synthetic vitamins. I don't believe in that stuff. I'm using a vitamin A that comes from cow kidneys.
Okay.
I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, Dr. Morgan, this is a genius. I would love me some cow kidney action. Am I right about that?
As long as it's in a pill form.
Well, then your wish is granted, young lady. What's your second wish? So, yeah, you could do that, and what'll happen is you're the one that wins, and actually the skin itself, the outer part of the skin, it requires a sufficient amount of vitamin A just to maintain the integrity.
Okay.
And so you can get vitamin A that comes from cod liver oil. If you get high-quality butter, but then again, that's a dairy product. And I really think if you've got eczema on the back of your hand, surely there's going to be something that you're putting into your mouth. At least I want you to be open to that suggestion. If I'm wrong, I'll say, whoops, I was wrong. No harm done. But if we can figure that one out, then you can win and your body can be clear and clean.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your...
You're welcome. I hope I helped you a lot today.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay. The phone line is once again open at 903-586-5257. This program is called Health Essentials. So if you have a question, let me know, please. 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Yay.
I have a question for you about alopecia.
Is it on the head?
I have a nephew that he has it. It's on the head, and it affects his eyebrows and eyelashes, I guess, everything else.
That's an autoimmune reaction right there. Can I tell you a story real quick?
Sure.
I think I saw a 13 or 14-year-old boy, and just huge chunks of hair was coming out. It was just a wheat allergy. See how I made it sound simple? Just a wheat allergy? So when he stopped eating wheat, all of a sudden, the autoimmune reaction stopped and the hair came back. Now, the other possibility, this is legitimate. There are infections, and I'm just going to kind of go through the gamut of them. One of them is called, I can't think of it real quick, but it's basically, that's right. It's called a Demodex mite. You ever heard of a Demodex mite?
No, I haven't.
Now, I know that I'm going to be drastic in my example, so just play along with me for a little bit. Let me be drastic. If you've ever seen a dog before that had just horrible mange and all the hair fell out, have you ever seen that before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, that's due to a Demodex mite. So the mite likes to burrow into the hair follicle and just destroys it. So we had a dog one time, and the dog looked horrible, just wandered up to the house. But covering the dog with olive oil, guess what it did to the mites? It choked those little suckers to death. I have never been so happy in my life as to smear olive oil all over a dog that doesn't want olive oil on it. But what it does is it prevents the mites from breathing, and guess what they do? They die. And I think it took about maybe 6 days for all the hair to start coming back. I mean, where you could, like, visually see the difference.
Yes.
Hey, that's what we could do with your grandson. We could anoint his head with oil.
Hey, that would be great.
And I'm putting you in charge of that one. But But it's either going to be an allergy, and, you know, the hair is a very good indicator in a young person. If it's fallen out, there's something that's gone awry. So I would personally look at a wheat allergy. But we could also give the young lad an oil treatment, couldn't we?
Yes.
I hear they're going to remake the I Love Lucy show, but this time they're going to start crushing olives and make olive oil instead of grapes.
That would be good.
Did you ever see that episode where she was crushing the grapes?
Yes, I did.
Did you think that was funny?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry. What were you going to ask me? You were going to actually ask me something intelligent until I interrupted you.
Now, well, he has had this. He's like mid-40s now. And he has had this. He had hair at one time, and it was coming out in splotches.
Well,
and
this...
then he has been for, treatment, shots in his head and all kinds of things.
Well, guess what happens? You can take your car. You can take your car to the mechanic, and if the if the problem is the the fuel pump, you can change the catalytic converter. You can put on a new carburetor. You can adjust the fuel injectors. You can change the transmission. You can put a new engine in there. Guess what? If you don't fix the fuel pump, the car is not going to work.
Okay.
And so what we have is we have a situation of them trying one. And you have to forgive me for being blunt about this stuff. I mean, if I need to see a study that shows that after 20 years of trying this drug and that drug, what are you supposed to do if it doesn't work? You're supposed to take a step back and say, evidently what I'm doing is not working. What can I do to figure it out?
Why?
I'm switching gears here slightly. Are you like me? Do you sometimes hit a roadblock and just stop and say, Roy, stop it? And then you pray to God and say, Lord, I don't know what's not working right here.
Right.
What should I do? Yeah. How do I look at this? I need wisdom. You know, I take advantage of that verse in the book of James that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, God will give it generously. I take advantage of that one all the time.
Well, I tell you, that is why I called you. I think you have a lot of wisdom.
Well, you're kind to say that, but not really. I'm just kind of stating what I believe I'm giving you my take on it, but I would, you know what I want for your grandson? I want him to be healed. And to have closure. That's what healing would look like to me, that we resolve this in such a way where he feels radiant. It's supposed to sound like a girl. Radiant.
Well, he feels bad and thinks it looks terrible, but I told him he's right in style these days with the shaved head.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing is, if there's some process that's causing the hair to die out prematurely, we might want to look internally, because that may benefit all the other organ systems in his body. Now, if he tells me, Dr. Morgan, except for my hair, I feel utterly fabulous. I have endless energy. My sleep is perfect. I'm really super happy all day long. I have no blood pressure issues. I feel good. Would he say that?
No, I think he does have blood pressure issues.
Well, and that tells us right there that even just as simple as blood pressure issues, there's a process going on internally where he's dealing with a lot of inflammation and dysfunction in the body. We want to run toward that, because the prize is, if he feels good, that is his ticket right there to serving God and his family and serving you.
Yes.
So, just an idea. Something's going on. We just need to figure it out.
All right. Thank you, doctor.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, and you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you much. Bye-bye. Okay, there's maybe a minute and a half if you have a quick question. I could do a quick one. 903-586-5257. This program is Health Essentials. And if nobody has a question, do you know what my topic was going to be this morning before I took the gentleman's first phone call? I was going to talk about the number one reason why people go to a doctor the number one correlation is fatigue. Did you know that fatigue is the number one complaint when people go to a doctor in America? I realize it's not the only one, but I mean, doesn't that tell you something about the body? Literally, if a person does not have energy and they don't feel good, well, what that really means is there's going to be a bunch of stuff in the body that's just not in good repair, because your body does not have enough energy to go around. Hopefully, Lord willing, next week I can cover this, because I was looking at some research from like back in the 60s, and it's just so fascinating. And I kind of laugh at these things kind of comically to myself, thinking, okay, these studies are like over 60 years old, and they're still just as true now as they were then, if we could only consider them and learn and listen. Anyway, this program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. It's been good to be with you today. Lord willing, by His grace and mercy, we'll be back this time next week.